Happy Monday, everybody. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas weekend with your friends and family. And I'm so glad that you dropped back in for another trip report to start this last week of 2020. Today, we're headed out to New Jersey with listener Veronica, talking about an amazing trip down to Walt Disney World last month in November. They stayed at Coronado Springs in the Grand Destino Tower, had a wonderful time at the extended food and wine festival over at Epcot, rode Splash Mountain, for the last time under the current theme, but Small World and Carousel of Progress for the first time? Can a Disney fan wait that long to ride those rides? We talk about great meals, even the Bull and Bear over at the Waldorf Astoria. Lots of fun discussion about Disney restaurants, Walt Disney World theme parks, and more headed your way right now. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today and support an American small business when you book your next Disney vacation. Just drop by themagicforless.com. Continue to use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online. It really does help us out. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And again, a huge shout out to all of our patrons. You guys are carrying the show here at the end of 2020. Until travel picks right back up, which we know it's going to happen next year. If you'd like some extra content, support us over at patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1823 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com. And of course, one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Well, I can't say Merry Christmas anymore. I guess we can say Happy Holidays. We got the, maybe even more than Christmas this year. We're looking forward to 2020 just getting out the door, so we get to do that this coming weekend. But I hope you did have a wonderful Christmas weekend there with your friends and family. Hanukkah for those that celebrated a little bit earlier. Hope you had a great season there. Whatever you're celebrating, I hope you are spending some time with friends and family this time of year. And now that the more I think about it, I think we are probably more excited just to kick 2020 out the door. I just remember this time last year, we're like, God, 2020, it just sounds like a great year, right? It's just like 2020, the symmetry of the year, it's going to be awesome. It was awesome for about 60 days and then punched us in the nose. So anyway, 21 is my lucky number. That's what I wore as my uniform number in high school baseball, college, hockey. 21 was always my grandparents were both born in 21. That's why I wore that number. So, we'll see. So if it's a bad year again, just blame me, shoot me. But a year from now, let me know. But today we're here for a trip report and we're headed up to a snowy location here in the United States, New Jersey. Veronica's joining us today. Veronica, how you doing?
I am loving the snow. It is my favorite.
That's good because I know a lot of people hate on the snow. I'm one of those people too. I think it's because I was a teacher for 17 years. I mean, my God, the best thing that could happen is that you wake up in the morning. Actually, you don't even have to wake up. You just get the phone, because I'm so old. You got the phone call, the phone chain, because now it's automated. Get an email, it's on Twitter. Back then, we didn't have any of that. You got the phone rang, and it was always like the teacher across the hall, like, Rallman, you're off today. But they'd always tell me that don't go back to sleep. You got to call Gentilly. And I'd be like, all right, yep. And I go back to sleep. snow's awesome. So you're going to get out there and maybe do some sledding or make a snow angel or something?
I don't know. Probably not. But I work at a community college. So this is actually our first, non-snow day where everybody's working from home. So we're all still working and finishing up classes.
There you go. Yeah. I wonder, with all the remote learning, because my wife's been teaching, fourth grade from 15 feet behind where I podcast from all year. And I told her, the glory of a snow day may be a thing of the past because the kids aren't in school. Who cares if it snows a foot? You can just,
but there's
just
like more to it than just, it's just like you need those extra hours. Like just that there's a different energy to a snow day. Right. So right. We got to keep that going still, please. I try to convince my administration, but we'll see.
Well, totally. Because actually that was discussed in my daughter's school district where we live, not where my wife teaches, but where we live. And the superintendent about a month ago sent out an email saying, we know that everybody has the resources to do virtual learning at this point. Everybody could do that. He said, But in the long-standing tradition of the snow day, if it snows, we're having a snow day. And everybody was like, yes. Hey, guys, old school, we love them. He's just saying, not really any reason to have one other than tradition. So thank God for him.
Exactly.
All right. Let's hop into your trip. We're going to be talking about a trip about this time last month, back in mid-November. And you guys headed down. So before we do that, kind of give me your background on your Disney fandom. You know, what's your backstory as far as ending up listening to a Disney podcast?
Yeah, so I remember as a kid, Disney World was probably the only family vacation we did. And it was like once for my 7th birthday. And that was it. Like, we weren't really much of a vacation family. But of course, there was still like the wonder of that. So that was probably 93 or so. We stayed at the Polynesian. And now I think about it, I'm like, oh, man, I wish.
Yeah, I know.
But and then it just kind of, you know, it was whatever in my life. I meet my future wife, now wife. And we're 5 years ago. We talk about our first vacation, and I'm like, where should we go? And she's like, how about Disney World? I used to go a lot with my family. We stayed off site, but I used to go all the time. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird, but sure. And 5 years later, we've gone every year. It's our place. It's who we are. It's what people know us for. And, you know, it's the planning, it's the researching, the YouTube watching, the listening to you all, of course, that just drives me every day of my life.
It is kind of a cool thing to be kind of in the Disney fandom, because, you know, if you're a fan of, say, I've been to Yellowstone National Park, I've been to Yosemite, I know there's probably, maybe there are, I don't know, maybe there could be, you know, a national park podcast or two or three for fans of that, RVing possibly, but I mean, there's no shortage of content if you're a Disney destinations fan. You know, it's just, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, I spend my whole life focused in this kind of fandom, and it's fun because I think it's wholesome, and you find really good people out there that, you know, when back before all the podcast things got rolling about, you know, 12, 15 years ago, you thought you were the only one, right? And now you find out, God, there's a bunch of us all over the world.
Yeah. And I'm the planner. I'm an organizer. I'm a spreadsheeter. So it just brings all of that good feels and then combines it with my nerdiness. And it's just the perfect formula for happiness.
That's right. And we say nerdy in a loving way around
these parts. In the best way.
That's exactly right. All right. So you guys headed down mid-November, stayed at Coronado, because we got so much to talk about. So I just want to hit all these highlights. Stayed at Coronado in Gran Destino Tower. So for folks that have never been there, folks that are considering it, give us a quick review of that place.
I loved it. I mean, the minute we walk in, the smell, I just keep remembering the smell. Everything was just perfect. I know it was highly recommended as Coronado Springs. We never stayed there before, so it was a brand new resort to us. But the rooms were our favorite rooms by far, spacious with the couch. We loved the bathrooms. And at last, when we were talking about the resorts, everybody, you were like, bathroom. And these bathrooms are beautiful. So just anything, so many great dining options. It's beautiful. The pool, the slide.
Yes, the Jaguar slide. It's actually, I know the name of the slide. That's how good it is.
It's the best slide ever. So everything, we really loved everything. It was a fantastic view, being able to see Hollywood Studios, see the Tower of Terror, see Galaxy's Edge from our window, and everything was great. We would stay there again 100%. It kind of took over as our favorite resort.
Gosh, that's so awesome. Yeah, I had a view of Galaxy's Edge too, and I was down there for Princess in February, and that was right before the world stopped. And then, but I don't remember the smell. I guess maybe it's because I was there for a race weekend. I probably smelled. So I probably, I was like a pig pen.
Maybe it was the holidays. Maybe they're piping in some like holiday smell or something.
I couldn't get past my own smell of running all the time, I guess. That's probably what I'm saying. So, okay. So while you were there, it says that it kind of edged out French Quarter as your favorite resort for right now. And I think that it's just, it's got all the moderate amenities, but everything there, even the dining, the Grand Casino Tower, everything just feels like it's just a little bit nicer, right? It feels like it's a little bit more on the deluxe side.
Yeah, 100%. And I, you know, obviously if Port Orleans French Quarter was available, we probably would have stayed there. So I am happy that we got to try it out. We were intending on staying there. So 2020, talk about a year that went wrong. We started off January with a little quick trip. We were going to do our honeymoon in December, and then I found out about a conference that would be taking place at Coronado. So we had like our whole 2020 planned out. We got annual passes. We were like, hey, let's go down for my birthday one day, fly in, fly out. Like, and then that was, you know, everything, you know, like you say, everything kind of halted.
Yeah, right.
So it allowed us to still do maybe what was going to be 2020. But I would highly recommend it to anybody. It was beautiful. We would 100% go back. Everything was great.
All right, so let's talk about your dining at Coronado Springs, because we're going to get into dining kind of on a whole scale here in just a few minutes. But really, there's a lot of options at Coronado Springs under normal circumstances, but you guys did pretty well even in pandemic times, because I know El Mercado del Coronado has reopened at this point by the time this airs, and that wasn't an option at this point. But how was dining at the resort, even with the restrictions?
Yeah, we definitely, that was a little bit of a worry. So mainly with breakfast, we went to, there's the Rick's Cafe, I guess, is the little kind of pop in, pop out cafe, got some breakfast sandwiches one morning. That was really good. And then one night we met up with some friends at the Rick's Sports Bar for dinner. And then on our final night, we had dinner at the Three Bridges or El Lago. I was like, I think it's Three Bridges. And then I saw El Lago.
On the side, it says like El Lago something something. But it's Three Bridges is the name of the restaurant. It is all kinds
of confusing. The coaster said El Lago. It was weird. I was thrown off. But we had an amazing sangria flight there. That was awesome. But they were great. The customer service was great. The food was great. I think overall, probably actually what won out as our favorite dining place was the pool bar. So
they have great margarita. I've had it a few times.
Yeah. Well, we have, I mean, the customer service there, whoever the bartender was, we were like, we're tipping her any money we have possible because she kept calling us like mi amor, and we just felt like there, it was great. But my wife got the Snake River Wagyu hot dog, which sounds really scary, and I don't know.
I want to eat anything called snake. You know what I'm saying?
I'm like, right there with you. I didn't take a bite.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't want to take a bite. She told me to regret it. But I think she just got it because it's Wagyu, and she's, you know, she has that bougie taste bud. So, but she was like, this is the most phenomenal thing that I have eaten here, which is so funny that it came from a pole bar. But yeah,
I'll take it. Yeah. And also, just so everybody knows, I heard this on our agent group the other day. Pam Forster discussed they went down for the agency training back in late October, early November, and they did what was called Sangria University. She talked about it on the podcast, like the agents got together into this private event where they made sangrias, and it was an excuse to pretend like it was a class. They just all really made drinks and drank. But that is now offered to the general public at Coronado Springs. So if you have a group, you may want to look into that. And I don't even think you need a group. I think you just sign up and they do it kind of like how they used to do those tours at Boma and Gico kind of thing. Just kind of go over. But you got to pay for that. It does cost money. You're getting alcohol. So anyway. Well, that's good because I've never been to Three Bridges. I mean, I love Coronado, but it's just when I was there in February, I was like, I got on sweatpants. I'm not going down.
Yeah. I will say we enjoyed the appetizers a lot. For dinner, I did get these like chicken biscuit sandwiches, which I know we'll get to it later, but the day before we had gone to homecoming. So I don't know why I tried to get a chicken biscuit sandwich from anywhere after eating it at homecoming, but I would avoid that. I know it's like right up our alley because you and I have similar taste buds, but I would avoid that when you go.
That's a good call. Homecoming can cause pain. It's good in the moment. And it's an hour later, you're just like, oh, why'd I do that to myself?
Well, I'm sorry. One last thing about Coronado. So we did feel a little bit more homey there. So we actually asked for a microwave because we had some leftovers and they brought it to our room, which I was like, this is really cool. Yeah, they just brought you a microwave and it stayed in our room for a couple nights. And then we actually did our laundry, which you've never really done there. And it was really nice to come home and not have to do laundry.
Yeah, we've done our laundry many times at Coronado because we've gone for like, a 7-night stay, then do a cruise. And so the last night before we go out on the cruise, we do all of our laundry. And you're right. I mean, again, we've said this a few times on the show. It's like, you're thinking, God, I'm at Walt Disney World. Who's going to do the laundry? Like, that's one of the worst things to do at home. But it is like, you only have to pack half as much. And plus, it's weird. You got to do it yourself to actually figure out God, that's kind of a nice thing to do.
It was, and it was spotless. Which, like, laundry, I don't know. It was like a spotless laundry room. It was a great experience.
There's even an app that tells you when your stuff is ready.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. Okay, so let's head into the parks. Okay, so you went to all four parks. Now, again, this was Thanksgiving week, so the crowds were building, as I recall, typically in a normal year as well. So let's start with Epcot. What was your, like, looking back a month later, what were some of the highlights from that park?
Yeah, Epcot was definitely our favorite. We went in going to eat. So we planned, I think we did maybe, if I counted, 20 or so dishes just in Epcot. Like, we were there to eat from the Food and Wine Festival. So what we actually did was we Ubered to Hollywood Studios and took the Skyliner to Epcot. Nice. We love the Skyliner. It's beautiful and it plops you right into World Showcase. So of course, the organizer nerd, I had our whole lineup of food and drinks organized by location and the route we were going to take. So Epcot was great. We really enjoyed there definitely were times it felt crowded, but very spacious, lots of places to pop over and eat. Being our first day on vacation, of course, very worried about everything. to have so many spots to just kind of park over and eat felt really comforting. But yeah, Epcot was a great first day. And I actually don't even know how we ate that much because every other day, like, we barely ate. But it was awesome.
Well, it catches up to you, too. You know, the festival, you're having all these little small plates and samples. But, you know, I'm not very disciplined because I'll go get, you know, like, I'm like, oh, God, I'm at Mexico. I got to get chips and guac. You know, it's a big old boat. You know, it's made for, like, three or four people. And I'll, you know, screw myself all up because I'm trying to sample things. I did that when I was down just a couple of weeks ago. And, yeah, it's a challenge, but it is an opportunity. And that's a great way to kind of kick it off. If Epcot's your thing, you got the festival going on. I like that idea of going to the studios and then riding the Skyliner, arriving in style.
Like, yeah.
Putting you right back at the International Gateway. All right, so let's talk Hollywood Studios. Looks like that's next. You had some new stuff to do over there.
Yeah, we were so excited for Mickey and Minnie's. We rope drop. We went right there. And we actually, early that morning, of course, got the boarding pass for Rise. Very nervous. This was our first time ever trying the boarding pass. I was able to get it right away. My wife was trying to, she was like, I didn't even get to the page yet. How did you get it? So we were quick with that. And we got an early boarding group. I think it was 17, 19, something like that. So we figured, let's do Mickey and Minnie. Let's see where they are with the boarding pass. Maybe we can grab some quick Starbucks breakfast and then go there. So that's pretty much what we did.
So about Rise, I mean, I just want to get this in there. You were successful, and people always ask when somebody's successful getting the Rise Pass, did you remember anything? Because you're a planner, so you obviously had a strategy going in, like, this is what's going to happen. So what was your strategy that successfully worked to get that?
I know listening to you talking about, like, keep your eye on the clock and just kind of, you know, when it's whatever 59, you're going in. And that's pretty much what I did. So, you know, kind of what it was, a 6:59, kind of just keep going, keep refreshing, and it pops up. You do it. Luckily, it's just me and my wife. Oh, my wife is in the chat. That's so funny. it was just me and my wife. So I know what bigger parties you have to kind of pick the right people and this and that. But it was pretty quick. I wish I had something other than just kind of a constant refresh, but that's pretty much what I did.
It's harrowing. I've had good luck with it, but I mean, it takes, you know, probably 10 days off my life every time I try to get one.
Oh yeah. No, we got really lucky. I mean, first time ever early boarding pass. I know. I'm sorry.
And it was worth it. I mean, you enjoyed the attraction. You thought it was worth all the pain in the rear to get it.
Most definitely. And we don't know anything about Star Wars. Like,
don't say that. The people that are like the guys that, you know, they have Star Wars rooms in their house that don't get them are going to try to find you.
I know. My brother is a fan. I don't know. But you don't have to be. You just enjoying the new ride technology. And of course they took it up a whole nother level with the ride and the show and their technology. So I just really enjoyed it from, like, a fan of rides.
Right. Okay. So let's talk Animal Kingdom, you know, the biggest park, and you know, a lot of folks, this is kind of their, I wouldn't say least favorite. Well, for some people, it's kind of just the one that you get to fourth. It looks like you guys went third. So what'd you think?
We love Animal Kingdom. It's one of our favorites. I'm a big animal person, so I'm sure that helps. we aimed to go to Flight of Passage with the knowing that everybody and their mom was going there, and that's exactly what happened. So eventually we just said, you know, forget this. We've done it before. Let's do everything else. So we went to everything else. Navi River was like a 10-minute wait. Safari was a 10-minute wait. We went to Expedition Everest and got to ride that twice. And that's our favorite. I was so excited. The first time we rode it, they put us in the absolute last seat. The second time, the absolute front seat.
Nice.
So it was awesome.
Best seats. I'm getting to the point where I can't take that part where it goes backwards. I'm getting too, like, I'm just old. Like, I can't. I'll do it during the marathon. That's the only time I'll ride it, just to say I did it. But yeah, other than that, nah, I'll meet you in the store. I hate that because I was not like that 5 years ago. But it's
I went on Facebook Live when we were in the front, and I was just like holding onto my phone for dear life. But I was like, "Come on, Facebook people, we're coming along
with
me."
That's it. It's like your promo video right there in the front row. I love it.
Exactly. Now, yeah. So after we did it twice, it was getting really crowded, and there is a lot missing from there. We definitely miss the Harambe musicians and. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lion King, the Festival of the Lion King, and Tusker House is one of our favorites. So, you know, we just kind of did our thing and dipped out.
Yep, 2020 will take what we can get. You know, we hope that those things come back. Because I agree. I mean, the Harambe, you know, live performers right there in the middle of the plaza. They, you know, that you cannot, I think it is impossible to not stop and be engaged with their show. They were so incredible that, I mean, it's why I go to Walt Disney World. I love the streetmosphere. I love the interactions with the folks who, you know, I mean, they're like building human towers. Like, they're climbing on each other and upside down. I'm like, is this real? You know, and the music's all awesome, and it just get all the kids are dancing. That really brings that whole area to life. So I do hope that returns sometime, hopefully in 2021, 2022.
And if anybody happens to ever see me there, I'm the one actually dancing with them with the Dole Whip with the dark rum. So if you're not sure it's me, if there's a Dole Whip and dark rum in my hand, it's me.
Well, a Dole Whip with dark rum would definitely help get the groove going.
There's nothing better than it.
I love it. Now, wait. Okay, so we've gone through this. Now, we haven't talked Magic Kingdom, right? And I see what you guys did all this, but you only did Magic Kingdom for a half day. Is that right?
Yes. So if we rewind a little bit, so my wife and I, our wedding date was November 20th, 2020. So last summer, my wife's grandma got sick, and we knew that she wasn't going to make it a year, or have the, you know, fear that she wouldn't make it a year for our wedding. So we said, well, let's just get married now. So last November 20, 2019, we got married legally, you know, in grandma's living room. Of course, this year comes the wedding, COVID, let's cancel. Unfortunately, grandma passed away. So, you know, I'm happy that we had that moment. So no wedding. So we actually went, we were going to do this as our honeymoon after our wedding. And we decided to go down and be in Magic Kingdom on we called it our non-wedding day. So November 20th, we spent the day in Magic Kingdom, and we did only do half a day. We knew it was going to be crowded. It was a Friday, and we were right. It was very crowded. So, you know, we're actually happy we only did half a day. And then we, you know, celebrated our wedding and went for a really expensive dinner to finish out the day. So
now, is this right? You did Small World and Carousel of Progress for the first time. You mentioned you stayed at the Polynesian when you were a kid and stuff.
I know.
How do you miss those two?
Maybe we did it back then. I was 7. I don't really have the recollection. So these were my first, you know, we did Small World in Disneyland. So this was the first Small World in Disney World. But that's the one, that's like the best thing. I mean, like you said, it's only really been 5 years of being a Disney World person, but to go after 5 years and these two like iconic rides never ride. So I was happy that we got that. And there was a way to kind of make this trip even more special.
Well, when you put two that you rode Splash Mountain for the last time, it's not the last time. It's just the last time under that theme.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I went live for that one too. But it's the last time with this theme. Yeah. Definitely. I'll probably still sing the song, even if it is whenever it is changed over.
Oh my gosh. They play it on our hold music for when I work as a travel agent. I hear it nonstop. They still play it. I'm surprised they still play it, but they do. Yeah.
That
song will never
it.
Leave my conscience ever. Ever.
It's awesome.
So you're also a fan of the Cavalcades, though, it says here in the notes, which I haven't heard anybody that doesn't like them.
Yeah, I'm with you all. I hope they keep it. I think the pressure of a certain parade at a certain time, I love it. I say keep it. I mean, we were on Main Street in the morning for an hour or so. We saw three that go by. So Santa and Goofy and the Dapper Dance and all that. It was great. So 100% Cavalcades, one of those post-COVID things I hope they keep.
That's right. It's lessons we've learned, and that's something that could stick around. I totally agree. All right, so everybody's waiting. Let's talk food. Let's talk dining. Yes. Again, you mentioned you really hit the Food and Wine Festival hard there as you arrived. So any favorites, anything that stuck out that maybe hopefully they'll come back next year's festival?
Yeah, so definitely the Flavors of Fire booth, and I think it's going to come back again. This is chimichurri skirt steak over like a corn, kind of like a cornbread, corn pancake kind of thing with the pickled onions on top. Oh my gosh, it was so good. Sounds 100%. Good. And then whatever beer was there, was a really good beer. With actually, I think we tried to like find to see if they sell it over here. It was so good. So that one, and then the Citrus Blossom booth, there's a crispy chicken and also a wine slushy or sangria wine slushy, something like that. Those two are outstanding. And of course we did the cake pop, the frozen cake pop, and all these different things. But those two, 100%. And then we finished it off in France. They had a pumpkin ice cream martini. It was out of, like, it was just something that they just made up. They put a lot of things in a cup and put alcohol on it, but covered it in whipped cream and then covered it in this pumpkin macaron or macaroon, whichever.
Yeah, I'm from Missouri. You got me. I don't know. Whichever you say is correct.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. But you know which one I'm talking about. So we actually were like, let's pretend we're YouTube vloggers, and we brought everybody around the world with us. And then so I'm like, oh wow, and then there's this pumpkin macaron. Let me try it. And I put the whole thing in my mouth. And it was like an oh my God moment. It was so good. And then of course, funny enough, my wife is taping me. And she's like, you didn't want me to try that? You were just going to put the whole thing in your mouth? I was like, no, you wouldn't like it. Trust me.
Well, I mean, they sell more than one. You can go back and get a second. That's what I always say when I always eat the whole thing. And especially, like, we got those cake pops. We were down there in August. I was like, oh, I mean, it was big, too. And I was like, I tore that thing up. I was like, oh, you want one, Mallory? Okay, yeah, let's go get it. It's like, yeah, so I
they
thought
are
August,
big.
I'm like, yeah, they're huge. I know. They're cheap. They're like $5. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but they're not bad. So,
yeah, no, but everything was so good. And the lobster roll in America was really good, too. I love, my favorite alcoholic drink in Epcot is the Red Stag Lemonade in America. So I got that. I got a lobster roll. The mariachi group was playing. I was in, like, heaven. Oh, the mariachi group was my favorite.
God, I love them. Mariachi Cobre. They're awesome. Yeah. Oh, God, I wish I was there right now. Okay, you also did 50s Primetime for the first time during this trip.
Yes!
And you got the meatloaf. That's my favorite, too.
Yeah, we started with the sampler. That was one of those days where we were like, how are we even going to eat a dinner? So of course, like, we thought about you. I was like, let's try the sampler and the meatloaf, you know. And then my wife was like, I think I'm just going to get a meatloaf for myself. And I'm like, that's fine. So we did that. We did the PB&J milkshake. You know, like I said, I was channeling you. I was trying to say, like, what would
I
get?
You're killing me right now. Yes.
I'm so sorry. But it was good. We sat in the back, so we didn't get one of the fun booths. But I actually, you know, being very COVID scared, I was actually happy that we were kind of off to the side. But it was great. We told them it was our, you know, honeymoon, non-wedding, and they gave us some champagne. So
nice. They got into dad's liquor cabinet for you.
Yeah. I literally laughed out loud. That was so cute when he said that.
All right. So you mentioned homecoming. So I wanted to talk about that before we move on. So what did you get there, and what kind of, what'd you think? Like, I mean, overall, I mean, because we do rave about it, but it's my, like, I'm from the Midwest. Like, we like comfort food. We like biscuits. We like deviled eggs. I mean, that is our jam. I mean, I don't know if it's so much East Coast thing. I mean, what were your thoughts?
No, 100%. I mean, we're right there with you. I mean, thigh high chicken biscuit sandwich, you can't go wrong no matter where you're from. So we were really excited. It was our first time there. We got to sit right in front of the, like, kitchen. So we got to watch them kind of putting all the dishes out, which was really cool. We started with the deviled eggs and the thigh high chicken biscuits. And honestly, I could have done another round of that for dinner. but that was, and I apologize. I texted you earlier that day. I'm like, okay, we're doing homecoming. Right. And you were just like, I'm eating a rice cake.
Yes,
thanks.
I was. Yeah, I was eating a turkey, like, cold cut turkey sandwich or something, like Rice Krispies. I don't know, something bad. It wasn't fun.
Yeah, but thigh high chicken biscuits, I'll get that as an appetizer, get it as an entree, eat it as dessert, like, all the time. The deviled eggs were good too. I'm a big deviled egg fan. Our entrees, we barely could even get through because we were just like, so enamored by the appetizers. But I did get the fried chicken and donuts. Oh. And my wife got the short rib. So we ate what we could. And then that was when we got the microwave, and we enjoyed the rest the next day. So it was really good stuff.
Love
and
that.
Then they threw in the hummingbird cake for our honeymoon house.
See, that's the thing, is I always get, like, comped for, like, a birthday or, you know, an anniversary or something when I'm stuffed. Like, I only get it when I can't really enjoy it because I'm so full. That's like, I'll get a cupcake, like, thanks. I can't take another bite, but I appreciate the offer.
Yeah. But, oh, man, those chicken thigh highs. Oh, that was my other oh, my God moment. So, like, that just made me stop in my tracks. I want some now.
Yes. That place is dangerous.
But, yeah, and other than that, one of my standouts. Oh, the mac and cheese at homecoming was really good, too. But, anyway, they had a Tree of Life cupcake in Animal Kingdom. I don't know if it was just for the holidays or if it's usually there. I'm sure it's not always there. But that was really good. That was, like, a pumpkin cupcake with, like, a toffee cream filling. So those were highlights of food.
We got to move on because I'm just... Yeah, my mouth, I know. It's hard to podcast when your mouth's water. Okay, so no more homecoming. So no. You mentioned you guys were on your honeymoon. You're celebrating your honeymoon. So you're looking to do some special stuff. One of the things that you wanted to do, which I always say, you know, if you're looking for something special to do for a Disney fan on a vacation, is a behind the scenes tour. Start off, I like, with Keys to the Kingdom, or, you know, if you're into trains, do the train tour. You know, if you want to, you know, if you're into marine biology, do the snorkeling or the scuba diving with the, you know, over at the Seas at Epcot. But, you know, right now they're not offering those. So yeah. What did you guys do to kind of make this trip stand out? A couple extra things.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do was, that day would have been our wedding day. So we hired the Magic Moments, Capture Your Moments photo shoot with the photo pass photographers. And figured we kind of do the morning, get some shots by the castle. Since we got married last year, we saved a couple things for our wedding, being the, like, wedding rings. So we had our wedding rings. We did a little kind of exchange of the rings. And the photo shoot was great. So pretty much we set it for really early in the morning, knowing that we would get hot and sweaty and let's take the pictures as soon as we can. So enough time to go and kind of, you know, see the castle, walk up Main Street, and then we checked in with them. So they were wonderful. We got two photographers. It's a 20-minute photo shoot for $50, which is really great. They bring you into kind of the garden. You meet kind of by Tony Town Square on the right hand side. They take you kind of by the garden, take some pictures. They bring you up around the back. Like, they get, you know, a couple of different locations, and then we finished by the castle. So doing the ring exchange by the castle, taking pictures. And then actually a cavalcade was going by, one with Mickey and Minnie. And I looked at the photographer. I was like, can we try to get the parade? So we like ran over, pause. We're like, Mickey. Mickey turns around, smiles, puts, you know, his hand up. And then we like, the good thing about masks and photos is you can have the worst smile
ever.
That's
true. I didn't even think about that until just now. You're right. It's so, I got something on teeth. Who cares? I'm like,
yeah, that actually worked out. So we just ran, called Mickey's name, turned around, smiled, got a picture. But it was awesome. It was definitely a way to, you know, kind of have a special moment that morning. And then we did our thing at Magic Kingdom and then went to dinner. So we originally had planned also to do California Grill, because I think about, you know, channeling Pam Forrester. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, what would be a really nice dinner? California Grill. And we're going to be in Magic Kingdom. We could take the monorail. Boom. Right before we left, my brother and my sister-in-law gave us a wedding gift, and it was an amazing wedding gift. And so I look at my wife and I'm like, oh, we are going bigger than California Grill. So we actually went to the Waldorf Astoria Bull and Bear restaurant, which...
See, I know nothing about this place, so tell us about that real quick.
I don't know really much anything either. So we're big fans of the Trackers on YouTube. Yep. And so they went there one time. I told you my wife is bougie. She has bougie taste. So she specifically, of course, saw this video of like a really expensive dinner that they went to and was like, this is great. I want to go here one day. So I had it on our list of, you know, places to go for our honeymoon. And they had kind of in conjunction with the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot, they had a food and wine pairing, 7 courses. Paired with wine. Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm with you in the Midwest. Like I am a total, we did not fit in here, but we made it work. Yeah. We went with it. You know, you sit down, there's 3 waiters, you know, waiting on you. The salad dressing, which was the most simplest, but like the most amazing salad dressing. They store it in a barrel for a year and then store it in a bottle for a year.
Holy cow.
And then it's
that's
like
a lot of work.
It was just,
I'm used to my wishbone, you know, out of the grocery store, you know, 99 cents a bottle.
100%. And then we're eating. And of course it's 7 courses. So it's like 7 small courses. And I'm like, I don't know if we're even going to be full, but oh my gosh, they needed to like roll us out of there. It was amazing. And then of course my lovely bougie wife was like, we have to do this every time we come back. And I'm like, hi. I don't know about that, but I love you, so let's try to make it happen.
You'd be like, we'll look at the pictures every year.
Right?
And we'll order some Dominoes, and we'll look at the pictures.
Yeah, as we eat and look at the picture, maybe we'll think we're actually there.
Exactly. Get some $5 bottle of wine, and yeah, that'd be fine. No, you know what? Because I am not a fancy eater, but I have gone to some fancy places because of the podcast. You know, Pam, we did a podcast cruise 1 year, and Pam got the... Not only did we do Paolo, which is that, you know, exclusive adults restaurant on the back of the ship, but she got the captain's room or something. It's a private room within the fancy restaurant. I'm like, oh, man, I do not know what's going on. I don't know. They're not going to let me, but they did because we're all together. And the thing I learned is you just you just kind of watch everybody around you and like, okay, they're using that fork. All right, use that fork. You know, you ordered that. Well, you know, that looks like it could be like a steak. I don't know. I enjoy it all, but it's like, you know what? There's probably people all over the place, you know, like us that maybe don't have the background, but you know, I think that's how you learn and that's how you live life, right? You get to have new experiences.
And I took the approach of like the staff probably gets the people who quote unquote do belong there. So let's have fun with them. Right. I was like cracking jokes and, you know, just I'm like, you could let loose with us. Totally. It was great.
Totally. One time we did at the Grand Floridian, they do that tea, right? I forget what it's got a certain name, but I can't remember it offhand. But yeah, you do the afternoon tea and they give you little, you know, triangular sandwiches and all that stuff. So the lady, we're doing this with the Foresters, Scott and his family, a bunch of us, was like 12 of us, and they had all done it except me and my family, of course, because my girls, that we don't do stuff like this. But they asked me, they come out, well, how do you like your tea? I'm like, man, I don't know, I'm from St. Louis. I'm like, the only tea I've ever had in my life is McDonald's sweet tea. The lady almost died. She's like, McDonald's sweet tea? She's like, we don't have that here. I'm like, I didn't say I need McDonald's sweet tea. I said that's the only kind of tea I've ever had, like, or in my grandma's sweet tea, which was awesome. She's like, oh, we'll take care of you. It was like immediately I was her favorite because like I was a pity case, right? Because she's like, this cat doesn't know whatever he's getting. And it was fun though.
Yeah.
That was good too. Yeah, I love it. You got to have experiences like that. It's still a fun story. So I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So a couple more things. We're on a little short, but I won't get all this in. You went over to Universal. So give us a quick nugget on that.
Yeah, so I know one of your recent trip reports talked about Universal as well. So pretty much the same. I do like some of the things they do. They pump the hand sanitizer on you before you get on a ride. And what was really interesting is that my wife is a super hand sanitizer. Like, she is all about that. So she was like, no, I do not want this hand. It was literally like thick tequila coming on your hands. So she's like, I have my own hand sanitizer. And they were like, no, we have to put this one on. Otherwise, I can call my manager and they can confirm that your hand sanitizer is appropriate. We were like, whoa. Okay.
It's 60%, I promise. 80%, whatever it's got to be. Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, it got crowded as well. We pretty much went there for Harry Potter, the new Hagrid ride. My wife is a big Harry Potter fan, so she said it was the best ride of both parks. I unfortunately didn't fit into the ride, which I know is our like next part. But she did the ride herself and said it was the best in both parks. So I do look forward to taking that ride at some point.
Yeah, I'll try it someday. I don't know who Hagrid is. I mean, I know. I think I could picture.
No, if I can enjoy Rise of the Resistance.
That's true. I mean, I did ride. I rode one of the Harry Potter rides when I was down there in 2018. Didn't have a clue what was going on. It about made me puke. But yeah, I did.
I did the one. You're talking about.
I did the one. It was spinning me around. I'm like, I don't know what this is. The person's on a broom. Okay. Because I'm not into all that stuff. But it was fine. It was fine. I love the theming of the Harry Potter area. So, I mean, that is, you're talking immersive. It's so well done. It's so beautiful.
And the queues are beautiful. And you've done the train to both sides,
Yep.
Just amazing. Yeah, the first time I did that, I was like, whoa.
Still though, so awesome. The one thing I'll never forget about that area is the store that has the kid puking in the window. Like, I'm like, what's that all about? Dude, this is audio animatronic barfing in the window. Okay, I'm out. I'm done. Take me back to Disney.
I'm not sure if I realized that. Yes, but my wife is a huge Harry Potter fan. So in Diagon Alley, last time we went, I proposed to her there. I was like, this is your favorite place in the world. Nice. I'm going to be a nerd and propose to you here in Diagon Alley. I mean, she said my whole proposal was in the Disney store because we couldn't obviously go to Disney World and bring our whole family. So we did it in a Disney store. So we're big nerds, but makes for a good story.
The funny thing is, if you go to Harry Potter area over Diagon Alley or, you know, Hogsmeade or whatever over at Universal, if you're not a Harry Potter fan but you go with a Harry Potter fan, they will tell you every backstory of every, like, oh, see that nick on that brick? That's because in book, you know, the Rise of the Phoenix, you know, this Horcrux came over and like, dude, I don't need to know why that cracks there on that brick. It's cool looking. That's all I care about. It's fine.
The wand store, Ollivander's.
Yes.
So I don't know. Did you go to the part that has like the show?
No, I know about it, but I did not because I didn't need a wand. I'd rather have a lightsaber, but that's just me.
So we did that just the first time there, just to experience. And of course, I get picked. And I'm not the Harry Potter person. My wife is. So I have no idea what's going on. And they're having me do these spells. And there's one spell of like Aguamente, but I'm Spanish. So I'm like, Aguamente. And they're it. And my wife's like, it's not a Spanish word. There's another, it's a Harry Potter word. But I felt so bad being like the non-Harry Potter fan getting picked for this special experience. That's but all, it's great.
That's how it always goes. And the kid that's like read every book 7 times forward and backwards. Like, ah, I didn't get through the wand. Sorry. That's just how life goes, kid. Get used to it. Okay, so you wanted to close out on, you know, we talk about in the Disney community, like being poo-sized and trying to make things work and the challenges and how the park's actually doing a pretty good job on a lot of things. So address it. Like how you wanted to talk about that. So give us some thoughts on that for folks heading down.
Sure. So, and I've never really heard it talked about. So I was like, let me try to get this in. So being poo size, of course, a curvier person, someone with some hips on you. So I am a poo size Disney fan. And going to Disney, I think definitely Universal is a lot more size restrictive with their rides. So I think if anybody's going to Universal, you will be aware that there are a lot of rides you cannot go on. For example, I couldn't get on Hagrid's ride. And pretty much any Harry Potter ride, I don't fit on. I mostly just get on like Spider-Man or some of the more simpler rides. For Disney, pretty much every ride is very poo friendly. And I find that, so if you're as a poo-sized person, you're probably going to have trouble on Flights of Passage and maybe Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, I made it work, but you're not going to be totally comfortable. And there are, and the new Tron ride, I'm pretty sure, is probably not going to be size inclusive because Flights of Passage really wasn't that way. And I wanted to ask you, Mike, because I feel like even tall people on Flights of Passage,
right?
Now, it's hard.
It was Seven Dwarfs is rough on me too because I'm 6'3". Yeah. You know, there are a lot of rides that my knees just, I'm trying to think of another one.
I feel like Splash Mountain potentially could be like that too. Because
if you get the front log, you get a little more leg room. Like if you're in the front of the log, does. I mean, you're right. I mean, I think even tall people have challenges. Now I know like Henry Warwick, who used to do Betamouse, he was like 6'7". I mean, I can't imagine. Like there are rides, I think, that, you know, even tall people can't.
Yeah. Have, like, so there are a few rides. I think it definitely has to do with that, because a lot of the rides aren't really. So we were excited this time to be able to go on Cali River Rapids. We've never been on there. I've always just kind of passed it by. But being that every line was so short, and they have a seatbelt, but it wasn't long enough to fit the seatbelt. But then I go on Soarin', and Soarin' has a seatbelt that's long enough. So you know, it all varies on the ride. But I definitely would think for the really tall, and then of course the thicker ones of us, that there are some rides that are a little bit either tight or just not going to happen. But overall, you know, Disney, whether it's a kind of a handicap seat that you can take an arm off of. I know in Carousel of Progress, I asked them, I said, is there a seat where I can pull the armrest up? And they were able to put me in there. And we did the same thing at the Muppets show last time we went. So a lot of times the cast members, you just ask. And more often than not, there's not a problem. Even for Carousel of Progress, I know a lot of in the poo community will talk about the turnstile and how the turnstile is really tight. And you just kind of let them know, hey, can I go through the handicap chain part? And that's no problem at all.
Good deal. And you mentioned, too, Navi River Journey said had kind of a really nice setup. Yes. And that's one of the newest rides at Walt Disney World.
Yeah. So for those boat rides, they're definitely getting better with that. I found that Splash Mountain, because also Splash is a long ride. So, you know, right. You're kind of cramped in there. And then, you know, a couple of minutes, you're like, all right, are we almost there yet? But Navi River as a newer ride was great. So we're working towards the good, you know. We'll
good,
get there.
Good deal. That's right. Okay, so we're wrapping it up, but I just want to congratulate you guys. Sounds like you had a wonderful trip, and congratulations to you too. Now, crazy Disney fan, so you always got to have something on the horizon, even if it's not official. It may be official. Like, what's the plan for moving forward? What are you hoping to do next?
I mean, we keep talking about going back soon, like March, April, May soon. So the plan was to go on my birthday, which was last May. So, of course, we're like, okay, let's try birthday again and see if that's possible. We had purchased the 2020 annual pass. Everything happened. They gave us the opportunity to get it refunded. We did. And then we were like, oh, no, but we really want it. And then we bought it again because, we just like giving Disney our money. So now we have the annual pass and we're like, oh, we got to make it worth it. So now we keep looking at opportunities to go. So, you know, I think a lot of it is the quarantining when you come back, trying to think about a good time, you know, work-wise for myself to be able to do that because I do some things in person. But and then, of course, you know, cases are rising and you're trying to be right. Mindful of that. It definitely was there were lots of feels to going. And is it okay that I go? I feel guilty.
Same. I felt the same way. Yeah.
But, yeah.
You know, with my job, you know, like I help people go down and I wanted to make sure, you know, like I wanted to know firsthand, like what is it like so that I can tell people. I mean, and, you know, I felt very comfortable there. But you're right. I mean, you feel guilty because, you know, it's. Some people are against travel in all cases, and I can understand where people say that, you know, but I also, am relatively healthy, and you know, my daughter was relatively healthy, and we had the time and the means, and I just wanted to do that research. And I mean, let's face it, I mean, I'm trying to justify it, but I'm a huge Disney fan. You know, it's like you.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I mean, for us, we're like, well, it was our honeymoon, so that was, you know, well, you didn't have a wedding, so here's your honeymoon. I'm like, if we go again, what kind of justification is there other than we just really want to go?
I mean, you can always find some reason. That's what we do. All right, yeah. Hey, Veronica, I appreciate it so much, and I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and Happy New Year. Let's make 2021 awesome.
Thank you so much, Mike. Same to you.
All right, don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. They'd like to thank all of their guests here in 2020. Your support this year, more than any other year, meant so much to us because we know that you had to be extremely patient when it came to Disney trip planning. You might have had a cruise planned. Well, that didn't happen. Maybe you had a, you know, hey, we're going to go down in June. We're going to have this blowout trip to Walt Disney World. Well, that didn't happen. You had to wait on that one a little bit. Maybe you're going to go to Disneyland. Well, that's still not happening. So thank you for your patience, and we're going to be there for you in 2021. As we move forward, we're going to always make sure you have an amazing trip at the lowest cost possible. And when you book a trip with the Magic for Less, you're supporting an American small business, and that means the world to us and our families. So please do. When you plan that next trip, just drop by themagicforless.com, fill out the quote form, and I'll mention the show, and I'll be working with you together to plan a great vacation. Again, over at themagicforless.com. Don't forget, if you shop online, if you're like me, I mean, I'm a procrastinator, right? And Christmas is over. You still got to get something. Like, say you didn't see whoever you got to see for Christmas yet. Like, you're like, I'll see him like the first week of January. If you still got to do some holiday shopping, I won't tell. Use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Trust me, I've been there. And also, thank you to all of our patrons. You guys are awesome. You've really helped us out here in 2020 to keep the show going. I can't thank you enough for that. And if you'd like some extra content in your week, like Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, just go over to patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at brguestpod and at brguestmike. And of course, subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. We are going to be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions, the last ones of 2020. And we'll keep it rocking right into 2021. So for Veronica, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to get back to work. Or if you're a teacher, just back to Price is Right or something. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.